It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On 610 with Pendergast to rock the show.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. Where you at with these Houston Texans, man, after getting beat on the road at Lambeau versus the Green Bay Packers? Score was a lot closer than how I watched the game. Anyway, Texans lose the last second field goal, 24-22, in a day where the defense was absolutely tremendous. Even before we mentioned the injuries, the five starters that they were down. Before we even mention that. The defense was tremendous. The defense played well enough against a really good offense to allow this team an opportunity, several opportunities down the stretch, to take the lead and or win this football game. But the Texans as a Super Bowl contender, where are you? 713-572-4610. This has been a roller coaster for me, boys. This has been a roller coaster for me after the Indianapolis Colts game, after the way they ran the football. Yep, man. You take what C.J. Stroud and this offense did in the pass game last year, and you add that Joe Mixon, boy, this Super Bowl contender. And then all of a sudden, they struggle for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, I don't know, man. Then you beat the Bills, then you beat the Patriots. And the way in which you did it, I'm like, this is a Super Bowl contending football team right here. And then you go out there and offensively absolutely mess the bed versus the Green Bay Packers. And I just got to be honest with you, man. I'm out on the Texans as a Super Bowl contender roller coaster. I'm off of that roller coaster. I'm not going to ride the roller coaster anymore. I don't want to try to predict that. I don't want to have that conversation. I'm personally completely off of that roller coaster at this point in time. Until they versus a really good opponent, until they play a brand of football versus that opponent that gives me the feels that they can make a run at a Super Bowl, I'm over it, man. Until the tape tells me difference versus a top caliber team, I'm off of it. And I think the biggest reason for me is I thought this offense was beyond being smothered. I thought this offense was beyond being bullied and beyond going four quarters of just getting, again, smothered. I thought we were beyond that. What happened last year in the playoffs versus the Baltimore Ravens, I thought we were beyond that. In no way, shape, or form did I think we'd be sitting here after week 7 and any team in the regular season, for damn sure, would smother the Texans' offense the way that the Baltimore Ravens did last year. That takes the air out of my sails. And right now, Ron, I'm deciding to not ride that roller coaster anymore right now with the Texans.
Yeah, I'll say this. I feel better about the Texans after that game.
You feel better about the Texans after the game we just watched?
I feel better about the Texans after that game because, to me, like, some people may call it excuses. I just call it an explanation. They're without their best weapon, and he's missed 2.5 games. He is still third in the NFL in receiving yards, is Nico Collins. And I personally believe if Nico Collins were in that game, maybe we can talk about this more later on in the week, I believe they would have won the game. as tight as that was. And for me, Nico Collins out. And then all the guys defensively, your entire linebacking core out. You're running with special team guys. Your second corner out. That clearly was an issue. Jimmy Ward out. You know, your best interior defensive lineman the first 7 weeks of the season. What's my man's name? Mario Edwards Jr. He's out. Right? Like, I think they just had, there was a lot of guys missing that are game changers in some cases for this team that weren't out there. And to think that they were there to lose at the buzzer, that they had the lead, they had control, they led the entire second half or a lot of the second half. I feel better about them. Yes, they have flaws. They have some things. Like, I never really have them in the same space as, like, the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Lions. I felt like they were a tick under them.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's hard for me to go from many people, you know, talking about their Super Bowl contenders after last week's game against the Patriots and them to have all those guys out and go on the road against the Packers and beat a team that I think is a contender or be in the game and lose at the buzzer by a field goal by a team that I think is a contender and then all of a sudden have a different feel for them. They've got some issues across the offensive line, but I don't think that this offense is going to play that poorly, especially in the passing game. That's where it was. The run game was good, the passing game. I don't think they're going to play that poorly. I got to see them play that poorly and, as you say, get smothered multiple times before I think that that's them.
Here's the deal. The two best teams they've played this year, both in the same division, they've been smothered. They've not played good football, have not been able to protect the quarterback. More times this year than not, they've not been able to protect the quarterback. I can't lean into what happened in 2023 as heavily as I personally have been. I've always been going, well, if they can just get back to that, if that CJ, I believe in CJ Stroud and what he did last year, I think he can do that again. And it's just, I can't lean into that anymore. I got to look at the seven games that we've seen them play. And the truth of the matter is, against the two best teams on the schedule, they have not played good football. It's one thing to watch this football game and look at the scoreboard and say, yeah, that's indicative of the football game, but it's really not. I mean, you can't count on getting turnovers and having two short fields, and then basically giving you 17 points, and three turnovers with they had an 8% chance of losing that game and lost it. Then an 8%. That's how bad you were in other places of the game.
Oh,
three,
my God.
With three or more turnovers. It's not three or more. It's upwards of 92% if you get to four turnovers. But winning the turnover battle by three, there's an 8% chance since like 2000 or 2005, something like that, 15-plus year window, that you lose that game. 8%, and that's how bad you were the rest of the way. Like, I can't get beyond it. I like the thought. I do agree with the thought of Nico Collins being making a difference. But here's another thing, because I agree with that 100%. But here's another thing that on that same vein that gets me completely off the roller coaster. We've heard about a five-headed monster since they put this group together. Four of those five-headed monsters were out there, and the offense was awful, as bad as I've seen it. I mean, that was some Davis Mills type stuff.
Dang it, Bobby.
When I talk about Super Bowl contender, a part of that is you can withstand some injuries because you've got so many weapons. In fact, when everybody's healthy, you don't have enough balls to go around. Too many mouths to feed. Probably better off with one of the guys not in the mix in terms of everybody eating. Truth of the matter is right now, Nico Collins, to your point, hell yeah, would have made a difference because three of the other five-headed monsters, they ain't making no difference. Dalton Schultz ain't squishing a great. Tank and Diggs didn't do a damn thing. Now, we'll watch the All-22 and see why that is. Is CJ missing them or what's going on there? So that's the five-headed monster part of getting off the the roller coaster.
That is worth the conversation. Yeah. We will have those conversations. Well,
here's another one, right? And I thought Tony Romo hit a nail on the head, man, with this. He did it multiple times, right?
Oh, watch this, Jim.
Yeah, that guy. Because I wholeheartedly agree, and we've had this conversation on this show more so with texters that don't like any kind of criticism of C.J. Stroud or any kind of criticism that pertains to a guy living under constant pressure. Whether he's throwing for 300 yards or 80 yards, you can't survive it. Like, constant pressure is going to catch up with you. But Romo said, or this is early on, before it happened for four quarters, is that the Texans are giving up too much pressure to have sustained success. They've been able to overcome it because C.J. Stroud has been so good, but it's not sustainable success moving forward in the NFL. And that's precisely what caught up with them this week. And that, like, obviously when the announcers are saying that early in the first quarter, clearly this has been a problem consistently through the 2024 season. And this is what caught up with the Texans. I mean, they have been awful in pass protection. And that's everybody, too. That's not the O-line is catching the brunt of it, and rightfully so. But that's everybody. The O-line, the damn tight ends, the running backs at times, Bobby Slowick, the schematically. I mean, clearly, the D'Amico said it today in his presser, right? Like, what he's wanting them to execute is not getting executed. Here's D'Amico Ryans in the presser today talking specifically about the protection issues up front.
Yeah, for me, everything is on the table when it comes to it. It has to get fixed. Like I said, when it comes to it, I know how we're coached, what we're asking to be done, and it's not showing up on the tape. So it's not just one person. It's the entire thing. So it's just the entire offense from the top to the bottom. We have to get it cleaned up. Not one person or one thing, but multiple things, multiple issues that we have to get collectively. We have to get it fixed.
Ron, that's the other concern here with this. You're generally talking about the O-line and pass protection, I think is low-hanging fruit. But the truth of the matter is, as we watch the game, everybody's involved. I will disagree with D'Amico that we know what we're asking them to do and it's not getting executed.
We suck.
Like, somewhere in there, like, clearly there's a communication flaw, so guys don't know what they're supposed to do, right? You got guys that aren't practicing on Wednesdays because of an ankle that happened 3 weeks ago that are blocking down, and an edge rusher's coming unblocked. I mean, it's you've got some serious issues up front, and the scary part is it's not just about Laremy Tunsil's false starts, right? It's every offensive lineman across the board. It's the tight ends. It's the there has to be Bobby Slowick has to be involved in this protection thing from some standpoint. Like, Bobby can't just sit back and go, well, every team throws these kind of protections out there. There's some kind of communication flaw between the coaching and getting it executed on the field, and I don't think right now that you can say, well, it has nothing to do with coaching. Damn sure not Bobby Slowick, and damn sure not Chris Strasser, the O-line coach. So I think everybody, Ron, is in this mix right here when we talk about protection issues.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to watch that all 22 when that comes out, Clint, because for me, like, yes, I think they have struggled in pass protection this year. I think they struggled against the Colts. I think they struggled, especially in the second half, against the Bears. I think they struggled. This was a different ball game.
Oh, like, I
agree. Even with the Vikings. The Vikings were, you know, it was a clear deal of, hey, we got multiple times we're blocking tight ends with
Jonathan Grenard,
and that was kind of rectified. And this was different. This was just breakdowns, physically getting your ass kicked. This felt different. That's why I look at this was this is almost a bad night at the office.
It's so bad that you almost want to just burn it.
Like, it just
we suck.
It is, like I said, this their pass protection, I want to make sure I'm getting this across, is not one of their strong suits. That has not been a strong suit this year. Like, if we were to say their pass protection this year, which I think is fair, again, coming into the game, they have led the league in passing yards per game. So if you say they've been a C when it comes to pass protection, they were like an F minus on Sunday, right? Like, it was just so, like, you know, what was that? You got rushers here, you got free rushers there. There's stunts by linebackers. To me, there's, because I think there's a thought of, God, that offensive line was awful yesterday. And then there's a thought of, no, that offensive line is just awful. And that's to me, also a thought to look at. I think you got to, as you said, try to fix things, everything on the table, what D'Amico said. But I don't necessarily go moving on and think that performance the offensive line gave, that's what it's going to be the rest of the way out.
Well, it's hard to think that you're not going to get more of what you've seen against the better fronts.
I think we're about to see pressure.
The Bears, the Vikings, now the Green Bay Packers. It's going to be hard to play offensive football if that's the protection that we're going to get up front. And you got a lot invested in that group, and those guys just have to play well. I think yesterday's a perfect example of, you can run the football like all coaches out there, be physical, run the football, ground and pound, and you can turn the football over. You can the other team can turn footballs. You can win the turnover battle, is what I'm saying, and run the football well, and it's still not enough. This football team is going to have to protect the quarterback and have to have a group of pass catchers that can separate, that can communicate, that know how to make themselves available to the quarterback when a quarterback's getting heated up. Yesterday was a perfect example of one team dealt with pressure really, really well, and one team didn't. Now, the Texans still got home on Jordan Love several times, but Jordan Love was cool, calm, and collected under pressure, and they had a plan. Whether it worked or not is irrelevant. They had a plan, and he knew where he was going to get with the ball. The receiver knew he was breaking his route off because of the pressure. They had that plan in place and executed it well enough to win a ball game that they had no business winning after turning the football over three times in the game. So again, I've been on a roller, the Super Bowl contending Texans being a Super Bowl contender. I've been on that roller coaster, up, down, up, down, up, down. This game is enough for me for multiple reasons that I'm off the roller coaster. And until they put film out there that versus a top caliber opponent that tells me that they're a Super Bowl contending team. Until that, I'm gonna stay on the sideline of these Super Bowl contender conversations, Ryan.
Okay.
All right. I can't.
They got the Lions coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
They got I don't think the Colts will do it for you. I don't know if the Jets will do it for you, but the Lions coming up.
Well, the thing that scares you though is the Colts, these other teams that may not have that good, what you think is that good of a defense, the blueprint is out there. What was that? I thought that was breaking news or something. You know,
the Colts guy, maybe.
Oh yeah, that's that guy. The blueprint's out there. So now you're gonna get some of these lesser teams trying the same stuff. Hopefully they can handle business.
We'll see. All right, you talked a little bit about the defense. I think we do got to give them some credit. But I also have to say, boy, Clint was really right about something yesterday or Friday that I don't quite think I was there in terms of the immediate need, but I think Clint was right on the money. And if you didn't learn anything, we learned that from this game. We might not agree that we should take a completely different look at this team based off of yesterday's game, but we agree on this one. You were right. I was wrong. We'll discuss that next.
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley is presented by Verlo Mattress. Get the best sleep at the best prices at Verlo Mattress.
All right, listen, it was a tough game yesterday, and I know as I see Texans Twitter, as I see the text line, as I've listened to folks throughout the day from Payne and Pendergast and read the text lines from Texans Radio with Vandy and John Harris to In the Loop and what we're seeing now, there's a lot of anger and frustration from people.
The game is over!
But listen, I know they couldn't shut it down at the end, Clint. And I'll be honest, for me in that game, that was probably the most frustrating for me. As I've said, I felt I was more like, wow, this is a real show of the culture and everything for them to even be in this game on the road against this team. But The one disappointing part was at the end where the defense wasn't able to get a stop. But outside of that, Clint, man, we got to give it, I mean, a shout out. That defense under all the guys they had missing, Clint, up and down, man, outside of really one area, I mean, they held that thing down, got two turnovers, got two picks, and did what they did. They made the plays to keep this thing in the game. And I'm telling you, Clint, I did not – Friday we were doing the show, Saturday, I did not feel good about this defense, especially the guys that were going to be on the field, to be able to hold them down and to slow them down and have them, you know what, 21 points throughout the game and 24 at the final. I did not think that defense would be able to do that. So shout out to them because they played their asses off.
Yeah, one more feather in the cap of D'Amico Ryans and company, the entire staff when it comes to their ability to overcome injuries. I mean, the depth on this team, clearly Nick Caserio and company are putting together and have put together a really good roster through and through, at first, second, and third string. You know, clearly they coach those guys up consistently throughout the week, no matter whether they're going to play or not. And when the time pops, guys are prepared, and guys, the moment's not too big for them. The two linebackers, Neville Hewitt, Jake Hansen, both played really, really well, impacted the game multiple times. I thought any linebacker that played, much less the backup linebackers, would get taken advantage of in the play action game. They didn't. It's the fact that they were even remotely close to being in this game, and they were. It was a 2-point game for the entire second half. It was a hell of a job, a hell of a performance by D'Amico, the defensive coordinator, and five starters being out versus that offense is and limiting them to what did it end up 24?
24.
Limiting them to 24 points is pretty damn good.
Hey, because fellas, there were a couple occasions in that game I thought, well, this, all right, boy, they've held up enough. The duct tape is starting to kind of fly off a little bit, especially that drive coming out of the first drive of the third quarter for the Packers after they got the three and out. They just whoop. I think there was another drive early where he fired that ball and Bullock just missed that pick. The first touchdown that they got, I thought, whoo, here we go. And they're about to go up. But that defense multiple times shut them down and stopped them. Will had another big sack. Danielle Hunter got a sack. They made plays to where I just, well, because that felt like 30. That felt like to me the Packers were going to put up 30 going into the game. And then moments, that second half, I thought, boy, God, man, they can't stop Jacobs in a run game, the pass game. Dobbs seems like he can get a slant anytime he wants. That matchup with Ross. Can we really stop right there real quick, Clint? They got to figure out something over there. While Kamari Laster is out, they said another two more weeks, Clint. I'll give you credit. I said last week when you said they got to get another corner in here. I said I don't know if it was pressing, as pressing or immediate. McClint, if Ross is Laster's backup and the next corner on the docket for you to go to, because they didn't feel good about going to Chris Boyd. They didn't feel good about going other places. If he is it, no, you're right. They got to make a move. Because Clint, they can get whatever they wanted against him. And teams are going to do that moving forward. I mean, you start thinking, listen, the Colts don't have, you know, the greatest wide receiver core. But we watched the three of them jokers the first time they played them. And Pierce can sneak and get himself open. A.D. Mitchell can get himself open. And we know their best receiver can get himself open like that. Like, if he's going to be over there the game after that, sitting over there having to cover Devontae Adams or Garrett Wilson, like, that's problematic. They got to do something about that over there. There has got to be a better, at least another person. He played 100% of the snaps, Clint. There's got to be somebody else that can at least give him a blow.
Well, the problem is, too, is, you know, on both of the touchdowns in the first half, you're playing cover two. And schematically, it doesn't make sense. You know, there's a 3-by-1 formation. Kalen Bullock is the backside safety. Your play side safety widens immediately and gives the tight end a straight line. You don't You don't disrupt his release at all with Neville Hewitt. You just let him run straight up the seam and then expect Kalen Bullock, even as good as he is and as rangy as he is, he couldn't get to that football and that touchdown. And then the other one, because he just got beat up the seam by the tight end, he pays too close attention to the tight end up the seam again, and he stutters his feet. And so Jordan Love is able to throw the go route down the sideline versus cover two. And so it's just when you try to play cover two to cover up Ross, and you try to play cover two because you've got, you know, you're trying to make him throw through a picket fence, and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to give some different looks, and you just you can't execute those coverages either. So they're in a tough spot. They're definitely in a tough spot, as you outlined with some of the guys coming down. When it comes to receivers, now who's quarterback in Indy, I think is obviously going to impact how effective all three or four of the receivers that Indy brings to the table is going to be, and the ability to really take advantage of that corner with timing routes and things of that nature. I think, you know, jury's out on whether Anthony Richardson can consistently do that through a game, but everybody's going to try to do it. You're right. Everybody's damn sure going to try to do it.
Yeah, we've been surprised, even with Lassiter in the game, we've been surprised how little teams have attacked that side.
Yeah.
Ross only got one target towards him last week against the Patriots, which was was odd.
Well, I'm surprised.
They're going to stop doing that now.
Like, I'm surprised that more teams haven't at least tried it with the way that Green Bay did, with some of the underneath routes, with some different in-breaking, out-breaking routes, and going that direction. I'm just surprised that they didn't do it with, haven't done it with Lassiter. But it's obvious they did it now with Ross, so I would expect everybody to do it.
Yeah, we'll see. I think we potentially may see more of that. They got to go two more weeks. I'm with you, though. But even when Lassiter comes back, Clint, like, your next step can't be a duck. And that, like, we'll see what he does next week. But that's what he was on Sunday. All right, coming up, D'Amico Ryans has the coaches show coming up after us. We'll be out of here early. He's coming up at 5. But I think we got to look at him yesterday, him and his staff. Were they, as you would say, you need some help with the polos on the sideline?
Mm-hmm.
Were they helpful yesterday? Was this, how much of this would you blame on coaching yesterday? It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming up behind us right here on a Reaction Monday, you'll continue to have a chance to react. You get to react to the head coach. The Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans comes up right behind us as this segment ends, so stay tuned right here on Sports Radio 610 as the head coach will give us his thoughts on what he said. He'll sit down and talk with the fellas on the Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans. Clint, speaking of D'Amico Ryans, excuse me, and his staff, he was going up against another really good young coach young staff. And these two teams, I've said this, the Packers and the Texans are like mirror or kind of images of each other in the NFC. The Packers are that up-and-coming team that people really like. They like their young quarterback and their coach. The Texans, the same thing in the AFC. In this game, I don't know, maybe this is too strong, but do you think the Texans coaching staff cost them this game?
Yeah.
We don't like
so?
That.
You think it gets to that point that if they made some better adjustments and decisions,
well, I mean,
they just got their ass kicked. Like, I don't know. I wonder how much.
No, I think this is a game where several things can be true. Like, if the offensive line protects better, or let's say if the pass protection, because, again, I want to reiterate, it's tight ends, everybody, tailbacks, O-line, everybody. If they protect better, I think you win this ball game. You won the turnover race, the turnover battle 3-0. There's several things that if you do just a little bit better, the defense was great, but if they're just a little bit better in that last drive, there's a chance that you win this ball game. So, yeah, I think there's several things that can be true. But to your point, your question at hand is, you know, if the Texans coaching staff was better, could they have won this football game? Hell yes. Absolutely.
Where did you see it the most? Like, where were you after?
I think the simplest answer for everybody to understand is offensively from an adjustment standpoint, right? I'm not, there's a lot of folks that are pissed off that Bobby Slowik ran the ball here and didn't run it here, but like it's like the only thing that was working offensively was running the football. So I have a hard time
with Joe Mixon in particular.
Yeah. So I have a really hard time with being up in arms about them running the football, but it's clear like, that the inability for four quarters to get your quarterback any amount of time to breathe and survey the field and deliver a ball down the field, even to the mid-range game, it was a problem. The inability to get multiple options right now, knowing you're not protecting very good, like the inability to get into some different formations and give your quarterback options right now, no matter what the hell the defense is doing, give me options right now. The inability to do that is, I think, falls on Bobby Slowik. I think the screen game, I said it earlier, I think the screen game with this football team surprisingly is leaves a lot to be desired. You could have used it in this particular game. I think they tried four or five screens, and I think four of the five, I can't remember, were just your running back screen where you fake it to him and he kind of rolls out. So it's a ho-hum screen game. So whether we're talking adjustments, overall plan originally, the inability to get the quicks right now. And the crazy thing is, Ron, when you look at it, you look across the field and you look at what the Packers were able to do in terms of throwing slants multiple times right where pressure just like – Jalen Petrie comes, he's blitzing from depth, and they throw a slant right there behind it. There's just several of those situations where, boy, it was clear. Everybody, the receiver, the quarterback, the play caller, everybody's on the same page. If you get that, boom, we're just going to take this quick outlet right here. And the Texans never did that. And so there with Bobby Slowik, and I think the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, when it comes to game management, I think it's fair to say – in two critical situations, didn't give this team the best chance to win, and that is him not throwing the challenge flag on the lateral. Whether it would have been a lateral or not, and the ball would have been turned over, is irrelevant to me as we have the conversation. The truth of the matter is that the risk versus reward is if you do win the challenge, it's a turnover, it's your football. Even if you don't win the challenge, it cost you a timeout. You needed a timeout anyway because your defense wasn't set and ready, according to your actions on the sideline and according to the results of that play. Like, that was a time to throw the review flag. And then the way in which the offense handled the last drive of the game, where it's clear now after hearing from D'Amico and hearing from CJ, there was not a clear plan of what the hell they were trying to do on that particular drive. And it appears that they were planning to kick a field goal versus one of the better teams in football at home, just needing a field goal to win. That seems like a losing approach. Even in the moment, we're all going, what the hell are we doing? And then you look at how it happened, throwing a 10-yard out route short of the sticks. It was 3rd and 13, I believe it was. You throw a 10-yard out route. The receiver, it ends up incomplete. But either way, either incomplete or out of bounds, the clock stops. The opponent gets to keep their third timeout instead of at the very least forcing them to use that timeout. So it's a double whammy there of what are we doing? What are we trying to get accomplished? And it appears that you're allowing the other team to hold on to timeouts when you shouldn't do it. So I think whether you're looking at the head coach D'Amico Ryans in game management situations, or you're looking at the offensive coordinator and the inability to adjust and give just the slightest of opportunity for this offense to have success when clearly they're not able to protect straight up for any amount of time, I think it's very easy for me to arrive at a spot where the coaches are right there with the players in terms of blame.
Yeah, I don't think this coaching staff, first off, I want to say this about the coaching staff. They clearly have some of the hard stuff done, which is the setting the culture and setting like the expectation of guys.
This is a tremendous coaching staff. They failed in a couple of different situations on Sunday night.
Yeah, they have that part. They got the. I think they also their players are always ready to go.
Yes.
Right, they're ready to go. And you said it earlier. They seem to handle the adjustment of dealing with injuries well, and I think that's built from day one. But clearly, there is. I don't think they're idiots, right? I don't think Matt Burke, D'Amico, Bobby Slowick, Gerard Johnson. I don't think they're idiots. Something though, in terms of their execution in getting the players to understand what they're supposed to do, there is something that's a disconnect there. I don't think that they walk into that locker room and all of those guys come together with D'Amico, who knows defenses and knows what guys are trying to do to them, and Bobby Slowick, who is a head coaching candidate. And I don't think they get in there and not have any idea of what to do. Something, though, happens to where their adjustments aren't getting communicated well enough with the players that they...
Yeah.
I don't believe all of those guys have been in football all together, did not come up with an adjustment on. This is what they're doing in these pressures with these linebackers.
Yeah.
This is what they're doing on these stunts. Something is just a disconnect in when they try to execute things.
Yeah. I agree, Ron. The thing that there's, you know... We're just at that 7-game mark where, all right, things that aren't working. Outside zone with Dalton Schultz leading the way, and he's out there bear hugging a defensive end, just taking on a chin. Like those kind of things, like, it's time to get away from, right? Like, whatever the issue that you're talking about communication-wise up front, it's time to get away and get that stuff figured out. We're 7 weeks into the season, man. These are, as you said, these are big-time pros that are making a lot of money, that the expectations are through the roof. Like, it's just time to either do what you do best offensively. And they got to figure out the communication piece, whether that's changing formationally, paring down the playbook. You got to quit asking guys to do things like Cade Stover. Again, I keep going to the tight end because it's easy because fans see it, right? Like, you got to, like, Dalton Schultz doesn't need to be lead blocking on runs. Cade Stover doesn't need to be blocking defensive ends in pass protection. Like, that's just that those things have to be a thing of the past. Like, you can't keep doing it. That's not an answer.
Yeah. We'll see. A lot to get to is they got a huge game against the Colts on Sunday. Stay tuned. D'Amico Ryans, the coaches show, coming up next. Texans All Access as well. That is following the coaches show from 6 to 7. And after that, Monday Night Football, a good one tonight. Baltimore and and Tampa, two top teams and division leaders right now. They'll face off tonight. And also the Chargers and the Cardinals. So you'll get some of that coverage. I believe the Ravens and Bucks is the game that you will get here. All right, appreciate everybody participating and listening. We thank you so much. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. And you all, hey, let's not lose our minds here. Like, all right, they're 5-2. Take a deep breath, baby. I'm Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
You're gonna get hard if you play us.
You're gonna get hard.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.